early next year, a new domestic violence agency is to be established, which will oversee the national response to domestic and gender-based violence. The Dublin Rape Crisis Centre says the agency has great potential, but what does it need to fulfil that potential, and what should this agency look like and do? Paul.
My only contribution perhaps would be to question whether we need another agency, whether we are going to see a new agency set up which will overlap with the work of other ones, ones dealing with housing, for example, ones dealing with migrants. I note the Minister, McEntee, talked about having zero tolerance for domestic violence. I would have thought the Minister would have zero tolerance for all violence. And I wonder if it's not a distraction from some of the bigger issues that she's been facing.
Mary Siri Kearney.
I think that it is absolutely necessary that we have zero tolerance on domestic and gender and sexual based violence, because there has been somewhat of a culture of acceptance and hidden a hidden nature of domestic violence and shame associated, when in actual fact the perpetrators of domestic violence need to be outed, and the victims of and survivors of domestic violence need to be supported.
Sure. So what does zero tolerance look like?
The removal of an agency and the establishment of an agency. First of all, this has been done under the auspices of TUSLA within the department. So we're under the Department of Children, who fund the agencies. The establishment of this agency under a justice bill moves it correctly and appropriately into a criminal matter, and a fact that there needs, and there is obviously assault, and there are other offences there on the books, but we need to take this for as seriously as it is.
And zero tolerance, what does that look like, and how does this agency enforce a zero tolerance regime?
Well, we need to be gathering first of all, we need to be funding the NGOs and working in partnership with that. And that has been on an increasing budget on budget. We have been increasing the funding towards the NGOs that are involved here and delivering in frontline services. People like my colleague, Alan O'Malley Dunlop, has been heading up and speaking about this for a number of years. So we need first of all, to be doing that, ensuring that there's funding. Then also coordinating and making sure that we have a register of domestic violence, that we are properly and accurately accruing a knowledge of just how prevalent it is, where it is, and the fact that women are at risk of being murdered in their own homes, and that there is a greater urgency to ensure that we have the register on the homicide in those instances, and also in having a domestic violence register. So the more knowledge that we're gathering in a specialist agency, then the better we have of combating it.
And just finally, before I go to the rest of the panel, what is the role of the agency in terms of coordination of the services, and I suppose what's the hotline they will have to the decision makers in the relevant departments, like housing, like justice, like children, that will ensure that coordinated action is taken?
Well, there is their own budget. What we have seen under the zero tolerance strategy is that there is an emphasis under four headings, looking at prevention of domestic violence. And the best way to do that is to ensure that people understand coercive control, that they understand when they are victims. Not all domestic violence is actual physical violence. It can manifest in
emotional,
many other ways.
Financial,
yeah, there is. So understanding all and that you people can identify when they are actually experiencing it, and that it's not that it's not them. That it actually, this is something that's being perpetrated upon them. Then looking at protecting the victims of violence, ensuring that they have places to go. And there is a very ambitious and determined strategy there in delivery of units across the country, because there have been some counties that have been without a refuge. So ensuring that everybody has a refuge and anybody who needs a place has somewhere to go. So that's another exception. Then looking at prosecutions and making sure that we have prosecutions. And then the policy of coordinating all of that effort.
Right.
And that's what this agency will do in a very powerful way.
Rory O'Morricu, when somebody lifts the phone and they realise or decide to come to terms with the fact that they are not going to stay in an abusive situation anymore, getting out is often the time they're in the greatest of danger, or when it looks like they're going to make a move. So does this agency need to ensure in the first instance that there's somewhere to go?
Well, of course, the whole idea of coordinating the services and the NGOs and all the organisations are involved is from a point of view of putting a fit-for-purpose system in place, because that's it. We all know the difficulties. Look here, first of all, you need to accept that you're dealing with people, and particularly women, generally. You're talking about psychological and physical violence generally perpetrated by men. We all got a big worry during COVID when we saw the stats and the increase, and the fact you completely understood that you had a huge amount of women who were trapped in homes with the perpetrator. So see if that woman, our man, suddenly is brave enough, as you say, to lift the phone. You need to make sure that they can actually get into safe accommodation. Now, I'm just going to give you a stat. This is Women's Aid in Nundalk. They had literally put these figures together, I think it was January to October 2022, and it was 1,489 calls to the helpline. There was 310 requests for accommodation, 293 of which were not able to be accommodated. Right, that's the reality. Now, that meant that they would have made an attempt when refuges were full, an attempt to deal with homeless services, family hubs, possibly friends or family that may take somebody in, and in some cases someone to return to the place of danger and them to provide supports from a distance. So that's the reality that people are dealing with. So if this is real, we need to see it properly funded, and we need to make sure there's compatibility and powers where they're needed as regards departments and agencies.
Right. I think at the beginning of this year, Tom Cullen, 11 out of 20 services were full in some counties. I think Laois was one of them. People were being referred to services in other counties. Westmeath was one of the counties in the Midlands taking up the slack, with the result that women are left with the difficult choice of the disruption that actually seeking help will cause to their children, to their connections with peer groups, maybe to close family connections and all of those other things. So there are very practical steps that this agency has to address early doors.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear that this is a whole of society problem for Ireland, so it requires a whole of government response. And look, Colm, you know from my background, my own experience of, you know, gender-based and sexual violence within the armed forces. And that was 23 years ago. And it was a kind of a new phenomenon, calling this out. But for some reason, we discover 23 years later that there has been very little change within that organisation. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is it's not to apportion blame to anybody, because the Defence Forces and the Secretary General of the Department of Defence are making a very concerted effort now to get to grips with it.
But the point is, it was initially discovered, and over the years certain strides were made, but then when outside external oversight structures were removed and perhaps the foot was taken off the pedal, the initiative was lost.
Yeah, that's my point. But the... So following on from that experience, I was appointed to the task force that was set up by Simon Harris to end sexual violent harassment on university campuses. And I was also part of the Higher Education Authority expert group advising the various task forces around the country. Now, for me personally, Colm, I was really shocked to learn that the levels of sexual violence that I had uncovered in the armed forces was almost identical on university campuses in the 2020s. So that's what I mean. It's a whole of society. And, right. And I actually found that really shocking.
But there will be different types of sexual violence and gender-based violence in different contexts.
But can I just say, though, that the task forces have made a difference on campus. So they were able to identify a number of factors. The fact that you have lots of, and Ireland is an outlier because we have single sex education in so many parts of the country. You have lots of young men and women coming together into an environment together. For many of them, it's the first time away from home, alcohol, other substances involved. And then the issue of consent arises, and then you have major problems. But they have been able to deal with that by doing workshops on consent. So what I'm saying is that setting up a task force can actually have a very positive set of outcomes. So I would welcome this...
The new agency.
Yeah, I would, because I think we do have a whole of society problem. And when you think of the victims here, or the targets for this type of behaviour, you know, as you pointed out, or, you know, women and children, if it even has the effect of making some kind of inroad into it, then I think it's absolutely worth it and would welcome it.
Paul Cullen, the TUSLA was mentioned there. It's perhaps a cautionary tale that when you set up a new agency, there were some things setting up TUSLA that were unforeseen. IT support, all of the other things that a new agency needed. TUSLA was hamstrung at its inception by resources that weren't really accounted for or planned for. They hampered the operation of the agency in other areas where it should have been more effective.
Yeah, and it took years for it to get on an even keel. And when it was trying to, it got buffeted by, as happens, the unexpected controversies and so on like that. But that's the point I would make. We have a family agency. It's called TUSLA. Do we need another one? Do we want to spend, and there is a problem here, but do we want to spend the resources that are available on frontline services, or do we want to spend it on people behind a desk?
I think we need to. I mean, the Child and Family Agency is dealing predominantly with children, you know, but also with children's issues. We need a specific agency that deals with domestic, sexual and gender-based violence, and that separates that has by very fact of creating the agency in itself elevates the issue in our psyche and challenges any culture of acceptance or brushing it under the carpet. The zero tolerance strategy had $363 million put behind it in order for it to achieve its aims. The rollout of units to provide accommodation. Dundalk is among one of the four top ones. Wexford, Dundalk, and Navan are currently underway. You know, we have by the end of 25 there will be a further 98 by the end of, you know, there's 19 additional on top of that.
Okay.
So doubling the provision is well within its capacity and is being well funded. On top of that, we've had government provide for a domestic violence leave. So the focus on ensuring that people who are in vulnerable situations that were tolerated and dismissed for years, but actually naming it, calling it out, providing societal and taxpayers' money support, as well as establishing people who are proficient in this area, experienced, know what they're doing, working with the NGOs who are delivering, I think is a very strong message to victims and survivors out there that there is hope, there is a place of change, and it is coming and the supports are there for you. And that's very important.
I,